You're listening to
Martha Sweet.
So we thought it'd be fun to do an episode where we talk about what a day in the life of us is like. A typical day. Obviously, there's going to be off days and whatever. But we just want to talk about what's normal for us. So we've come up with a list, and this is going to be a little different. Normally, we try to have a flowing conversation. We are legitimately just going to ask the questions and move on to the next thing after we answer them. So for those of you who don't know, we have triplets, and we have a six-year-old daughter as well, almost four-year-old triplets. Life is difficult at times, but in a lot of ways, I don't know. The routine is the same as any number of children. It's just made more difficult by having three at the same
level.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So when we talk about a day in the life, we are talking about from midnight to midnight. So typically when the boys go to bed, they sleep till midnight. It's after midnight they wake up. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Right.
So the first question is, how often do they wake up during the night?
I would say they wake up about 2 or 3 times a week.
And that seems fair, yeah.
That's under perfect circumstances. Wow. So that doesn't mean that it's usually like every other night type of thing. It's usually not in a row.
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be, that's for sure. It's kind of hard though to gauge because obviously it's going to, we're going to pay closer attention to those days that we wake up. And so we're like, oh, well, they always wake up, when really it could have been 50-50, but we've just, I don't know, that's just how our minds work. We tend to take note of when things happen, not when things don't happen. I don't know if that makes sense. And along with how often they get up is how hard is it to get them back down? And I think that depends on the child and the circumstance.
Yeah. Typically, Russell's the hardest.
Yes.
He is the most difficult to get back to sleep. And he's also the most difficult to get back in bed.
Yes.
Calvin would be a close second. And Caleb is the easiest by far.
Generally, Caleb likes to sleep. He's the one that'll tell the brothers, be quiet, I'm sleeping.
Yes. He'll glare at them if they're crying.
So that is waking up at night.
Okay. How do you know when they are ready to get up in the mornings?
Same as any kid that's locked in a cage. They'll start screaming.
That's horrible.
It is horrible, but it's true. They'll scream. Actually, a lot of times, I mean, maybe I'm exaggerating. I'll hear them flat out yell, I up. Out.
Yeah. They usually like wake up and start chatting. Calvin is always singing in the mornings.
and not just singing, but like full on belting, like as loud as he can.
Right. And often told to be quiet by his brothers.
Yes.
To the point of causing fights, which is about the point we go in there.
Which is funny because they're in separate cages. So those fights are just arguments.
Right.
Yeah. So that's usually what it is.
We give them a little while to kind of wake up because a lot of the time we're not sure if it's one or two of them awake or if they're all awake. So sometimes two will be up chatting, but the third's not up yet. So we'll wait till all of them wake up.
Yeah. And also there could be that third one that's still trying to wake up. Like they're still, I don't know. Like they have the, am I making any sense? I don't
know. Still laying around.
Yeah. And those are the ones that like will wake them up and they'll start crying and they're emotional and they don't know why.
They don't want to get up yet.
Yeah, yeah, but the door's open, so they want to get out. And so typically they're moody and emotional all day, whereas if we let them just sleep in, they are not sleeping, but let them wake up on their own, they're in a lot better mood all day.
Right.
So, okay, are they morning people?
I don't know. We don't wake them up. Like, I can't think of the last time we woke them up. If they're asleep, we let them sleep.
Right.
And they usually don't wake up till about 9.
Yeah.
Every morning, which is awesome for a little kid. Most little kids are up at like 7.
I would say Calvin is a morning person.
But he still sleeps until 9.
Oh, but I mean, like, he's in a good mood when he wakes up.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, Calvin's almost always happy waking up.
Yeah.
Which is why he's always singing. But the other two...
Yeah, it's not consistent.
They switch off.
Yeah. So, kind of, is the answer. Are they morning people?
Kind of. I'm not sure. They kind of force each other to wake up, so we never know which one's really awake first.
Yeah. That's one that we could probably answer better in a couple years.
Okay, what is breakfast like? Best way to feed them?
This is actually more of a question for you. Because
you're not around.
not as often, no. Because for me, I know that like eggs are almost always a slam dunk. They love eggs. And
not always.
Oh, yeah?
They'll go through phases where they don't want it.
Okay. I haven't had that happen to me yet.
Yeah.
And then although they like to feed themselves, it's way more efficient and they eat more if I feed them.
Yeah. So what we mean by that is breakfast is, it's about 50-50 where we will feed them. And that's not sitting them down in their high chairs feeding them. This is sitting on the couch with a plate or a bowl and they are running around playing and they run past you as they take a bite.
Yes. Or we can challenge them to eat more sometimes or trick them into it.
Yeah.
Like this, was it this morning?
Mm-hmm.
I told them it was my eggs and they weren't allowed to eat them, and so they wanted more. We got them to finish the plate by them teasing me.
Yeah. Like, if I sit them down in their high chairs for breakfast and put the meal in front of them, they might eat about half of it.
Okay.
But if I feed them, they will eat the whole. So let's say I make each of them 2 eggs and put the plate of eggs in front of them. They'll eat about half the eggs. But I can make like 10 eggs and put it all on one plate, and they will eat the whole thing in the living room as I'm sitting there feeding it to them. So that's an example of they eat so much better or more with me feeding them.
So what are their favorite meals then? If not eggs, I know they like oatmeal as well.
They really like oatmeal. We put different flavors in. We have plain oatmeal and we put different flavors in it, and they really like to be able to choose the flavor of their oatmeal. Their most recent favorite is putting raisins and cinnamon in with it. They really like that. They like toast for breakfast. They love cereal.
Yes.
Thank goodness. It's like a dessert for them.
I'm not sure I'm related to them.
But that almost always results in a tipped over bowl of milk. So it's not my favorite to give them.
And if we give it to them dry, it becomes ammunition. They'll just throw it around the room.
Yes. So eggs are a big one. Eggs and oatmeal seem to be the most consistent. There are other things. We'll do biscuits one morning or pancakes. They like pancakes. Haven't done that in a while.
Are there any meals that they just don't like at all for breakfast?
For breakfast?
I'm trying to remember if there's any that...
I don't think so.
They did like the breakfast casserole. They thought that was good. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, but I don't think...
We're probably good on breakfast foods with the boys.
Yeah.
Nika's a little bit more picky, but...
They love breakfast burritos. That's one of the easiest things to feed them. You put the eggs and hash browns in a tortilla, and we'll make like 2 or 3 of those, like full-size, adult-size breakfast burritos, and they will eat it in feeding it to them.
They eat a ton of food.
They do. They eat more than I do, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, they can match me sometimes. It's weird.
Yeah.
Do the boys still take a nap?
Not every day.
Yeah.
In fact, we're getting down to, we're lucky if they get 1 or 2 a week.
we've kind of been toying around with the idea of having them rotate naps. So like Monday, Russell takes a nap. Tuesday, Caleb takes a nap. Wednesday, Calvin takes a nap.
I'm just not sure how I would do that yet. I'd have to figure that out. And it changes on who's the crankiest, yeah. I think.
So we're looking at into it. We haven't tried it.
Yeah. And when there's one brother in the room, like we've done this with them getting in trouble, the other two will go and either open the door or knock on the door.
Yeah.
Like, and just yesterday, Russell got in trouble, so he got sent to his room. I close the door, and I walk away for a couple seconds, and then I go back. Well, in those couple seconds, I watch Calvin run down the hall and say, Russell, you need out? So I'm like, well, no, he's in trouble. So I'm not sure how that's going
to
work.
Yeah, we'd have to.
We'll have to figure that out.
We'll look into that one.
But yeah, they don't do very well with naps anymore, which is sad. They are almost four, so yeah. That's normal. But it's sad because they really act like they need it. Man, they can be super cranky and not nap. So, I don't know.
Maybe we're not feeding them enough.
Yeah.
Seriously, if the boys had free rein, I don't know if we'd be able to keep food in the house.
Yeah, they would eat all day.
Yeah, yeah. And they'd also play with a lot of it.
Yes. Food fights.
Yeah.
Okay, how do they like to play?
Well, obviously they like toys. They love toys, but they also have really been into make-believe. And what's crazy is they will start make-believing something, and they're like jumping all over the place, making random noises, and the other two seem to know what they're doing.
They follow along with these random make-believe conversations, and not just in English, and like many different weird things they have made up.
Yeah, so it's crazy, or like they'll start doing an action without noise, and the other two will join in, and they'll start commenting on it, and they know what the first one was doing. It's kind of crazy and awesome at the same time. Yeah. So that's pretty common.
They were playing cats today.
Yes.
And one was meowing like in a certain way, and they were having a conversation meowing.
Yeah. Changed the tone, and they knew
it was so weird.
Yeah. They knew what the other one was doing. They love playing outside. That's as the weather's gotten better. They love being outside.
Yes, they would. If we let them, they would play outside all day long.
Yeah. They love it. We have, we buy broken power wheels from DI or a secondhand store for those who don't know what DI is. and they're cheap. I think the most we paid for any of them is like $10. And the problem that they all seem to have is dead batteries. So we have a bunch of batteries here. And so we just build battery packs for them and they run. And so, what?
You do. I have no idea what you're doing. Oh,
okay. I weld batteries together to build battery packs. It's not that complex. Anyway, they will play on those for hours, which is great because with the new modified batteries we put in there, they last, I think the shortest span would be Nika's four-wheeler one. And that one we should get like 7.5 hours out of a full charge.
Really? Never lasts that long.
It's never had a full charge.
Oh, okay.
We've had issues with that one. That was the first battery pack I did build, and it has a lot of issues with how it was built. So the other ones work better.
Yeah. And they have these little, like, they're not Tonka trucks, but they look like Tonka trucks.
And yeah, because Tonka trucks are kind of expensive. And if we buy a toy, we have to buy three toys.
Right.
So three items that are expensive on their own are three times more expensive.
Anyway, yeah. But they love playing with those outside. They love to fill them up with grass and clovers and weeds that they call flowers and
dandelions.
Right. They really love those trucks. They are always pushing them around outside rocks. They collect rocks in them.
Janae's adjusting her headphones. Yeah, so the problem really comes down to they either are playing very well together, no problems whatsoever, or it is a full-on fight. Mm-hmm. And it shifts really quickly. Anybody with kids, I think, can relate to this.
Yeah.
They're awesome until they're not.
Right.
So that's something we have to look out for. But they've really been into running and climbing. Really, I think this winter was just really hard on everybody. They still love to jump on the trampoline, which is still in our garage. We are to a point now where we could definitely take it out, but it's been kind of nice for them just to walk out and jump on it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't require intense supervision. I don't know.
Yeah. And they do play really well together. There are times that they just are sick of each other. And like Matt said, the fights can break out very quickly. But there's also benefits to separating them. Like the day goes a whole lot smoother if, let's say, Matt's out in the garage doing homework in his office, and one of the boys are playing out there on an iPad, and I have one of the boys in the kitchen with me coloring, and the other one's just playing by himself in the living room.
Or with Nika.
Yeah, or with Nika. It is, like, it's quiet, yep. And they're all happy, and, like, we can go 2-3 hours with nobody screaming that way, just having them separated into different rooms, which would be ideal if we could do that all the time, but that's not going to happen. They like to be together.
Yeah, I was going to say, they really enjoy playing together. They look forward to it. In fact, in the morning, sometimes you'll hear them plotting the games they're going to play. Like, I Owlette, I Catboy. For those who don't know, this is PJ Masks.
They're obsessed with them.
They are, yeah. We'll touch on some other PJ Masks stuff later, I'm sure. but yeah, when they're separate, even if we remove one, two of them get along for a lot longer than three of them. Mm-hmm. But the phrase three's a crowd is definitely true here. The two, they can disagree and then readjust their game and keep playing. But if one disagrees with the other two, it's unjust because the two can justify their stance because, like, well, we both like this, you don't, and it's a full-on fight.
Yeah, and there's gaining up on each other, and there's picking on one. And
teasing.
Yes, it doesn't work out with three.
Yeah. So that's always fun. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they do play pretty well together. And sometimes they'll separate themselves. Like, I'll see, like, Calvin go and sit in the corner and play by himself because he's sick of playing with his brothers. Or I've seen Caleb go and sit in his bed with a toy.
I think Caleb does it the most often.
Yeah.
Russell and Calvin get along a lot better. And Caleb likes to kind of be alone, have his alone time, have his space. So he's definitely the one that will separate himself more often. And he'll even go in his room and close the door, make sure the other two can't come in.
He does that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And then Russell, he's obsessed with balloons.
Balloons and balls.
Yeah. If we have balloons, he, like, acts like he's in charge of them. Mm-hmm. And I know it really annoys Calvin. It really bothers him. So that's always a cause for fights. So we have to hide balloons.
Yep, or just pop them.
Yeah, which happens more often than you might think. But things can become balloons, like the gloves.
Yeah, medical cleaning gloves or just Ziploc bags. If they find a Ziploc bag, it can become a balloon.
Yeah, they'll dump out the contents. Like, a balloon, which is better. That he used to like to blow them up so he could pop them. So then they're useless. So that stopped, luckily. But yeah, I would say for the most part, they do play well together, but when they don't, it's epic. Mm-hmm. It is epic. Will they watch TV, Janae?
That depends on what you consider watching. I think I've seen them sit through one 20-minute episode of something. But even then, I'm lucky if they sit through the whole episode. Usually it's they'll watch it for 5 minutes, go off and play and do something and come back and then readjust or go get blankets, or they're always ping-ponging back and forth. They won't just sit and watch TV.
Right. But they love the noise of TV, so if you turn it off, they'll throw a fit.
They'll get mad. Yep. See, they could have an episode on and you go turn it off because no one's in the living room, and they come back out in the living room. Where's my PJ Masks?
Yeah. Or I don't remember when this was. I think it was over my break from school. They were out of the room for like two episodes. So it was like 40 minutes of them not in the room. So I turn it off and Calvin walks out and throws himself on the ground and starts kicking and screaming because the TV is on.
Right?
Like, dude, you weren't even watching it. And even if you came in, you wouldn't watch it.
Yes.
It's just the option's gone now. So now he's furious.
Yeah. They don't watch movies. They don't have the patience for it. The couple of times we do turn on movies, they will watch either the first like 10, 15 minutes and then go off and play. Or it's the constant back and forth watching their favorite parts of it.
Yeah.
TV shows, like episodes, work out the best. But I think their favorite is there's nursery rhyme songs. I don't know what you call it.
YouTube channel called Coco Melon.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be ABC Kids TV.
Yeah. Or Super Simple Songs.
Yeah.
Those are the three that they will watch. And it's just singing. Like.
But it's a lot of motion. Like the camera moves. The characters are always moving. There's a lot of bright colors. And a lot of them are teaching things like the alphabet or numbers or...
Which has been awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they actually know all their letters. They know how to count to 20. They know they can recognize up to 10.
Yeah.
And it's all due to these little kid nursery rhymes.
Yeah. So I think they just really like to learn. And that's really what...
Yeah.
The things they like to pay attention to are teaching them something.
And they catch on to rhyming that yes. way. Like, they've grown a lot from these little... They're actually pretty cool. They just get annoying when you have to listen to them over and over.
Yeah, because they have their favorites. Or yes. The songs really aren't that different sometimes, but the words are.
Yeah.
Or the songs are identical.
yes.
Like, the bathing one that is definitely Baby Shark... Wash your head, do.
Yes.
So yeah, that's TV. It's more
complicated.
Yeah, like if we were to replace it with a radio, we'd probably be just fine. They would be fine.
Like you could switch it out. They'd play the songs on their Alexa, and they're just as happy with that as it is on the TV. So they just like the songs. So, how do they play with Nika?
Pretty well, amazing one-on-one.
Yes.
Usually Nika has a problem with them. She wants them to do something and they won't do it. But for the most part, really well. Now, Nika can't seem to spread her attention over all three for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been an issue.
Or there's fight for attention.
Yeah.
Where Nika's giving one more attention.
She has a problem where she'll pick a favorite.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's for the day, sometimes it's for the week, sometimes it's for the month.
Yes.
And so it's become a real issue, and we've had to pull her back, like, you can't do that. They know what you're doing.
Yeah. But it's a really interesting dynamic. Like, they each have their special way they play with her.
Yes.
Like, they have their own relationship in the way they play. Can't think of Russell likes to play make believe with her and yep. dress up and dance, and he will let her treat him like a baby, and he loves to lay down and be cuddled next to her.
But he likes to be treated like a baby from everyone. That kid, he lives this life that he thinks everybody should just hold him and hand feed him grapes.
He would have been awesome as an only child.
Yeah.
He would have eaten that up. Caleb likes to, like, he loves to problem solve with her.
Yes.
They love to build things together. They like to do puzzles. He loves playing. She has these little LOL dolls that are her absolute favorite toy. And he loves that part with her. He loves the little dolls and the make-believe and the dollhouse and the clothes. And he loves a more complicated story.
Yeah. And he's the one that's very mechanically minded. So it makes sense.
Yes.
And then there's Calvin, that he's just wild.
Yes.
If Neek is wild, he loves it.
Yep. They'll wrestle together and
jumping on the bed,
run around and jumping on the couches, and they'll make up these obstacle courses and building forts, and they'll all join in eventually, but they have their own special relationship with her. It's slightly different.
It's not slightly, it's pretty dynamically different, actually.
No, but they'll all join in and eventually all play the same thing, but they have their special, I don't know how to say that.
I think the problem is for Nika, once the play strays from her vision of it, she gets upset. And with the three boys, they'll get distracted by something and they want to do that thing instead. Or
it doesn't last long.
Right, right. Or one of them found a toy that's in Nika's room. And those toys are like the coveted toys because they're not allowed to play with them normally. And this doll or stuffed animal made it out of the room.
And Nika's proud of it to share. How do I say that? She's proud of them that they love her toy and she loves to share it with them until she wants it back.
Right. And then she's mad because she's like, it's mine. I don't have to share it with you.
Yeah.
Like, well, you already started.
And then she does the, it's the rule. Yes. It's mine. I had it first.
Well, and the other problem we're running into is Nika wants to be the parent a lot of times.
Yes, yes.
And so we run into this issue where she'll punish the boys in a way that she sees fit, which is pretty far from what we see as fit.
Yeah, she'll come up with disciplining them, or sometimes she's really good and she'll discipline them in the way that we will in that instance, whatever it may be. And it doesn't quite go over well. They don't see her as
an authority figure. Yeah.
And so it causes more fights. And she's like, they hit me. And I'm like, well, that's because you're not supposed to be sitting them down in the timeout chair. Yeah. So it causes problems.
So this gets us right into the next question of how is Nika around the boys?
I'm not sure what you mean by that question.
Okay. And I think we kind of covered that already, where she's great one-on-one. Her and two boys isn't bad, but with all three, it doesn't last very long.
Yeah, it's very short.
Unless it's something that distracts all of them. Like when we do dance parties, she's awesome around the boys.
Right.
And she'll move from one to the other to dance with them and sing the songs. And but it if she comes up with the game, it has to be her way or no way, which is kind of an issue. But I think it's normal for her age group.
And she's a first child.
Yeah. So, and the other problem is the boys' communication is still lacking. They can convey, I want this, I want that, but they don't really know to ask questions yet. And their imaginations seem to be linked together. So, I mean.
Yeah. All in all, she does really well with them. She is great with them. She's a great big sister. She even knows how to take care of them. Anytime we've left them with someone, she can tell you where everything is that they need. She can tell you their routine, their schedule. Like, she knows them.
Yeah.
She technically could parent them, but
she has asked us to leave so she can babysit. I'm like,
not yet.
You're six. That's not happening.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, in our interview, she talked about how she watches them when mommy and daddy are away. But what she means is when we're out of the room, like they're in the family room and we're making dinner in the kitchen. That's what she means. Yes. Nobody think that we're letting our 6-year-old babysit our triplets.
Right.
I would say she's pretty good around the boys, and she's back when they first came home, I would classify her as a very proud big sister, but now it's just normal.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like, she doesn't tell everybody, oh, I have triplet brothers. That's so normal to her. She doesn't bring it up as this is something unique about me.
And she sees it as very normal. And she sees taking care of them as very normal. Nothing she does seems out of the ordinary for her. So when people ask her questions, when they ask her, how do you like being the big sister to triplets? Or how do you, is it hard to play with your brothers or whatever? She kind of gives them this blank look like, what are you talking about?
Like, how would this be different for me? This is what
this is her, normal.
Yeah, it's everything she knows.
Right.
So, I mean, in short, she's a phenomenal big sister.
She and is.
She is, yeah. Yeah.
What are their favorite snacks?
Anything with sugar.
Not always.
That's true.
They love peanuts.
Yes.
That's a favorite snack.
We do these, they're called Japanese peanuts, I guess, in English. I know them as cacahuates japoneses, which is Japanese peanuts, actually, in Spanish as well. It was one I learned about on my mission. They're basically a breaded peanut. They're so good.
They are really yummy. That's one of their favorites. They will eat that at almost any point.
Yeah, they love vegetables.
Love vegetables, yes.
And fruit. Well, a great example is last year we grew tomatoes. And if the boys could have opened the door, I don't know if we would have ever seen any tomatoes on those plants.
Yeah. And at the beginning, if one was red, it was gone in the matter of seconds.
Yeah. And we also planted strawberries. And I don't know if you and I even got one.
No. As soon as they saw one, it was gone.
Yeah. Even if it was green, it was gone.
Right.
They would eat any of it. So they're really good with fruits and vegetables. They're always excited for candy, but that doesn't mean they'll eat a lot of it.
Yeah, in fact, it's not like if they have a lot in front of them, they'll lose interest and they won't want it. And so they love candy because they almost act like they're supposed to love it, but they don't necessarily care.
So a great example of that, we actually decorate with candy. So we have what are they called? Twist ups. They're basically candy canes wrapped around a stick. In one room we have like mints in the other room. And then we have, sugar floss for a cotton candy machine, all of these on like display for decoration. And we'll have other kids come into our home and they're like, you guys just decorate with candy? Do you not eat it? It's like, yeah, our kids don't really care.
Yeah, how do you not eat it?
Yeah. And there's like, how would that last that long? Like, we just don't, we're not big into candy in our family.
Yeah. And it's not like they haven't had it, so they don't know that it's candy. Like, that we have the straight candy canes, the multiple color ones, and this candy jar in the living room. It's a decoration up on the shelf. And every once in a while, they'll notice it again. They'll ask for it, and sure, we'll give them one or two. You know, but then they lose interest and they know it's up there. They just don't care.
Yeah. So their favorite snacks. I mean, we have like the gummy snacks they like.
Yeah. They love crackers.
Yeah.
And chips.
No, they're normal cookies. Little boys.
Yep. Just normal snacks.
Yeah. They love tomatoes though. Love tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to grow them again this year, so we're nervous that we won't get any.
At least not for the first half of the year until they get sick of them.
Right. Well, I don't know. Did they get sick of them last year?
They stopped eating them as much halfway through the year the summer.
We grew one plant. It's called Mexican midgets, and they're, I don't know what to compare them to. They're about the size of like a blueberry, a big blueberry. They're like, they taste like a full on, like big tomato. They're delicious. They don't taste sweet like a cherry tomato. And, man, the boys, we could not keep enough of those.
Yeah. In fact, at the end of the year where we harvest the rest of them, I think they were gone within the first 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. They just would down them like just handfuls into their mouths, and now their mouths are bigger. So maybe we grow two this year. What is a typical lunch like? First off, it starts with a lot of screaming because they're hungry.
Lunches are a little more difficult because that's when, if we try to do a nap, it's around nap time. And usually because they wake up at like 9 or sometimes even 10, as late as 10, we don't have breakfast till like 11, between 11 and 12. No. So lunch is kind of like a gray area. They almost, their lunch is almost separated into two different snack times. So we'll have like normally a big breakfast and then a big dinner. And in the middle there, there's usually, if there's a meal, it's usually not a sit-down meal at the table. I don't know. I'm not sure how to describe it.
Yeah, so lunch is more of one of those, they've played hard enough that they're hungry. Because we'll have days that they start to get hungry at like 4, like, well, let's just do an early dinner and we'll get them to bed earlier.
Or we just do like a snack.
Yeah.
Instead of a meal. Or I'll just feed them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, so it's not a set meal like breakfast or dinner is for our family. It's more of like a floating meal.
It's a traveling meal.
Yeah.
It's always changing. There's never really a time of day. Yeah, it's different.
That's kind of an ambiguous question. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put that one down.
No, that's fine. Okay, which parent do the boys think is a pushover,
Their Matt? Mom, of course. It's not me. No, it is me. It is definitely me. And I know that it's me because they, I learned this with Nika, and I've heard this from a lot of fathers of daughters that, they just give you that look with their eyes, just big puppy dog eyes, and they could ask you for anything and they'd get it. And, I thought it was just Nika, but the boys can kind of do that with me. But also the boys know that I don't know mommy's routine as well. And they take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like what foods are not allowed out in the family room because they make a mess, or which foods they can't take to bed. Like when I'm up at 3 a.m, I'm exhausted. Like, Daddy, I want popcorn in bed. I'm like, great. I'll go get you popcorn if you go back to bed. The next morning, there's just popcorn everywhere, or like Ritz crackers where when you bite they them, crumble. They turn into dust anyway. So yes, I am definitely the pushover in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not so much with they want toys at the store or anything like that, but definitely with foods.
With food, yeah.
And with rules.
Yes.
But
the iPad time.
Yeah, that, and they take advantage of the two-parent system where they go and ask mommy to do something and mommy says no. So they go and ask daddy. And I've noticed that with me, I think I get bigger tantrums with my nose than you do because they expect a yes.
Makes sense.
obviously, that they have tantrums with nose when it's like, I stay up, I know, go bed. Like, no, you're going to bed. No! But yeah, they don't like it when I tell them no.
Well, when was it that we've seen them react differently to both of us? Like, we've been in the same room and one will come up to me and ask me something. I'm like, no, and they just, okay. They don't like the no, but they understand the no. And then they'll go up to Matt, they'll ask him the same question and he'll be like, no. He'll say it a lot sweeter than I do. I'll just, no. Matt will be, no, I don't think so. And what? So it's just hilarious to watch them accept my no, just like, oh, okay, fine. And then Matt is, what? But you're supposed to say yes.
That being said, they're to an age now where if we say not now, we're going to do this and then that, they're like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Right.
That doesn't change that I'm a pushover, I guess.
Or they're starting to get the later too. So you go, no, maybe later. And they go, okay, a later. I'm like, yep, later. Okay. You know, like they're getting the,
unfortunately, they right don't now. They don't remember what they'd agreed to happening later. But I think that's why Calvin wants me at night. Why? Right? Because he can get food from me, like specific food.
Yeah, maybe. So he flips out when I come in.
Yeah. And that's pretty funny. If the wrong parent walks into the room at night, the one they're not calling, they don't care for the one that's not, that they're not calling for. They just have a freak out.
They always call for you. I don't think they've ever called for me.
Not recently, no. They used to call for you all the time.
Yeah, so they'll always call for you.
Yeah. when do you have time to record a podcast? Right now it's 12:30. It's midnight 30.
Midnight 30?
Yeah, I don't know. 12:30
After kids go to bed and you know they're asleep and you don't want to go to bed yet, that's when you record a podcast.
Right. That's really it.
Yep.
Or we feel like we've dedicated ourselves to it enough that we're like, no, we have to.
Stay up a little later to do this. Okay, what are the kids like without the other parent?
All right, well, where I'm the pushover, it's a lot of tantrums because no's happen. And so when Janae's not around, it's fine at first because they just want to wrestle, but I don't have an infinite amount of energy and I'll start to get tired. And so I'm like, I'm just going to sit down. I'm like, no, sit down. Hold me. And it starts to turn into this freak out where I probably wore them out is also the other problem. So that's a problem. Or that's when they want food they're not supposed to have in the kitchen or in the family room. That's when they want their popcorn and they want drinks with dyes in it or juice.
Yeah.
But if I just take like one to the store, they're an angel. They're so happy to get like one-on-one time with mommy or daddy, with daddy, I guess, because I'm daddy.
Right.
So one-on-one, they're always really good, but when it's all three of them. Oh, or they will distract me. They'll ask me to do things on purpose to distract me so the other two can go and do something else. Like coloring on the walls. Like they'll want to color. And so I'm like, I'll get stuff out for them to color. And they're like, oh, we want PJ masks coloring. Like, okay, I'll print them. And so I print them and I have to wait just a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go get them off the printer. I go get them off the printer and only one's out there. Like, where are the other two? And they're in their room and they've only been in there for 30 seconds, but they've covered 80% of the walls in crayon. So now I'm in there scrubbing while they're coloring pictures, or so I think, in the family room,
right.
But they're coloring on the walls there too.
Yep. So with mommy, they get buckled in their chairs and they get their picture in front of them in the crayons and I stay in the kitchen with them. They are not allowed to leave.
Maybe I have too much faith in them. Like, no, they're not going to do it for me. Yeah. They're only bad for you.
Right.
That being said, outside, I think I'm their favorite parent because if something goes wrong, I'm the one they run to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can fix all the toys and yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what are their favorite activities? Which I think we've already covered this, if I'm being honest. They love to go outside. They love to play on their power wheels, like to play make-believe. So let's move on to the next one.
Okay. What is it like getting ready for church?
Have you ever had a kid just scream for 2 hours straight? It's like that times three. No, they're pretty good now. Now that they keep their clothes on, it's way better.
Sometimes. They don't always keep their
clothes on. They don't, but when they do, it's way better.
Right.
So the problem is that you'll get one dressed, and like, as parents, will trade off who's getting ready. So let's say Janae's getting ready, and I'm dressing the boys. I'll get one dressed, and then I get the other one, and I get him dressed, and I go out to get the third one, but the first one has taken all their clothes off now. So I get him dressed. I get the third one and go change them. And then I come back out and the other two have both gotten undressed again. So now I'm dressing them and the third one's undressing because the other two are undressed.
Or you finally get all three of them dressed and then they decide they all need to go potty.
Right. There's a Calvin and Hobbes about that where he's getting ready to go out in the snow and you see him go through all the work of getting dressed. And then he grabs the door and he has this like shocked look on his face and he runs into the bathroom taking off all the clothes he took. He spent all the panels getting ready with.
Yes. So it's a lot of chasing them down.
Yes. And not just because they're trying to be defiant. They're having fun. I mean, they're little boys. They like to run. Mm-hmm. Nobody can blame them for that. But it does make things difficult.
Right.
So.
I think that's about the same getting ready for anything. Store.
Or visiting friends. We've had a few times that we had plans to visit with friends and we just couldn't keep the boys dressed and we wound up canceling. We're like, I'm so sorry.
Just giving up.
but we've spent the last hour getting three kids dressed like 12 times. We're just not up for it today. We're all ready for a nap, and it's like 9 in the morning.
Yeah, and I think it's really hard to make it to places on time. We are always late. We try so hard sometimes. There's other times that there's obvious reasons why we're late, but there's times that we're trying really hard and we still can't seem to get out.
Yeah, those boys,
the door on time.
Those boys just, yeah.
It's always something. Something happens.
So how are they with visitors?
They're really good with visitors, actually.
Yeah, they love having visitors.
They like having new people to talk to. And in their own home, they're actually very talkative, very friendly, not shy at all. Well, most of the time, not shy.
Yeah.
But they're really good with visitors.
They look forward to them. Like my sister Anna and her husband Colton lived up here. They're on vacation right now, so they do live up here. The boys will ask for them all the time. In fact, that hasn't stopped. So they've been gone 3 weeks now.
Has it only been 3 weeks?
Yeah. And
they've asked for them like 5 times.
Yeah, yeah. So they love having visitors, or they'll love it when grandmas or grandpas come.
Or cousins.
Yeah. And so they look forward to visitors. And if they find out a visitor's coming, they ask over and over again, like, it coming? It coming?
Yeah. You don't tell them until the day of, or yeah. Otherwise you're going to start getting the, are you there yet type of thing.
Yes.
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
They love having friends over. They don't have friends over their age. It's Nika's friends, but they love having her friends over. Even if they're not playing with them, they just like having people over.
In all fairness, I don't really know anybody their age. Like
there are kids their age at church, but
that's true. But it's just an age where they don't
play with friends.
Yeah,
yet.
You might make like play dates, but we don't want a fourth.
Why would four-year-old make a play date when we already have three?
They love sad. Nika's friends coming over, though. She has one friend, Nika's best friend, whenever she's over here. The boys just adore her.
Yes.
We're pretty sure they all have a crush on her, because it's like they'll just say her name with these wide eyes and bat their eyes at her. And she knows that, and she thinks it's just awesome to have these three boys follow her around. And
well, she's actually sweet to them. And
oh, yes,
she
yes.
will play with them. Play with them the whole time, because she'll still give her time to Nika. But she's one of the only friends Nika has where she's actually nice to the boys and wants to include the boys, but will still go and play with Nika too.
And it could be the novelty of the boys have worn off a little bit, but that's to her advantage, if I'm being honest.
Right?
She doesn't want to just look at them like there's three of them. She'll interact with them. She can tell them apart sometimes. In her defense, I can't tell them apart sometimes. So, for the most part, the boys love having visitors. They love seeing new faces.
Mm-hmm.
It's your okay. turn. Ask away.
Mike's is mine. How do they act when something breaks?
They come to me and tell me to fix it.
Yeah.
Daddy, fix it.
That's one of the first things they say. Daddy will fix it. Yeah, even if it's something that can be fixed. I'm like, what'd you do? Daddy will fix it. Daddy can fix anything.
What we're realizing is when something's broken, it's like this temporary, oh, I guess I can't play with it today, but it'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
I'm like, maybe I shouldn't fix as many of these broken things. Like,
yeah, like Calvin broke one of the boards on his bed, finally.
Finally? Were you looking forward to this?
No, finally, as in I was waiting for it to happen. But one of his first reactions was, oh no, it broke. Daddy, fix it. Where Daddy? Daddy, fix it.
So, yeah, I'm the repairman for the family.
Yeah.
it's not the worst calling.
Yeah. If it's something they really care about, though, they will throw a tantrum. It broken.
Yeah, although, okay, so they have these PJ Mask toys, and one of them, they'd broken one of the feet on it. He's this character that has a lab coat on, and they broke one of the feet, and nobody would touch it. And the other day, one of them was forced to play with it because it was the only one left, and he was freaking out because it only had one foot. So I broke the other foot off, and that solved the problem.
He's fine. Just couldn't look broken.
So I don't know. Like, their definition of fixed is all over the place. Okay, what is the bedtime routine? The ideal bedtime routine is we start with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll burn incense. Now, for us, meditation isn't this like mystical thing. It is literally just a wind down thing at the end of the day. We have a timer. They just have to do deep breaths.
Only lasts about a minute.
Yeah. So we found like they will do 5 minutes of meditation if we do it in 1 minute increments. So it ends like again, so we'll do it again. And again, I don't remember, it was 3 or 4 papers on how there's no such thing as a naturally calming scent. People will claim it if they're trying to sell you something, but you're not born with this scent will always calm you down, because it's not true. You condition yourself to getting a calm scent. So for us, it's cedar incense. And it works really well. Even now, I'll come home and Janae's burnt a stick of incense and I walk in like, oh, I'm calm, because we've trained ourselves to calm down to that smell.
So the boys have caught on to that, and yeah, they will calm down with the scent.
So yeah, we do meditation and then we do prayers, and then they get a pick how they go to bed. And this is how we get them to go to bed the easy way. Get in bed. Yeah. Again, PJ Masks. There are 3 heroes. One is Catboy, the other one is Owlette, and the other one is Gecko.
So Catboy, they have the option to run to bed super fast.
Yes, because Catboy has super cat speed.
And then Gecko, they get to climb up the wall and climb on the ceiling. Matt holding them up, of course.
Yeah, they don't actually climb on the walls or the ceiling.
And they crawl on the ceiling to their bed.
It's really cute. We really should put the GoPro on their head when we do that sometime.
Or they can be Owlette and fly to bed.
And we found if we do that, they'll go to bed pretty easy. Oh, I forgot we brush teeth. We'll usually brush teeth before meditation.
Well, yes.
I guess this is bedtime routine. Anyway.
Before bed is... Yeah, diapers and jammies and teeth.
Pretend I didn't go on that tangent then.
Keep kicking that.
So yeah, if we do that, we can put them in bed. They lay down and they're usually pretty happy. They want their water in bed. So we give them like a half full thing of water, small water bottles. And that's bedtime.
Yeah.
And then do they go to bed easy?
That always changes.
Yes. And it's rarely do all 3 go to bed easy. There's always one that's right. Mad.
Yep. And I don't know. I would say more often they go to bed pretty happy.
Yeah.
There's very few tantrums go to bed because they've learned that go to bed, get in bed means you're staying there. And so there isn't a lot of debate of, well, if I throw a big tantrum, I'll get out. Or if I throw a big tantrum, I get to sleep in mom and dad's bed, like in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
They just have learned that when we say, okay, it's bedtime, get in bed, they get put in bed. And sometimes we'll do the story or a song, and then it's time for bed. And they've just kind of accepted that.
Yeah.
Even with a tantrum, the tantrums are short. They're not like during the day.
And as they've gotten older, they fall asleep faster too, which has been really nice for the most part.
Yeah. It depends with naps. We said naps are kind of rare these days.
Yeah.
But if they take a nap, it takes a long time for them to fall asleep. Like sometimes it's even midnight. I'm like, they haven't fallen asleep yet. But without naps, they're usually asleep like by 9, right?
Yeah. Sometimes they'll wake up a little bit, but yeah, 9, maybe 10 at the latest on average. I mean, obviously
that's falling asleep. That's not in bed.
Yeah.
They're usually in bed by 8, between 8 and 8:30.
Yeah. And so once they're in bed, then we read to Nika and put her down. But yeah, that's the day in the life of triplets. of parents of triplets. We'll interview the boys in like 5 years and figure out what it's like to be them. If you know us, you can contact us in person. You can also contact us on Facebook, or you can email us at not plus3@gmail.com.